Mel and Kerry. Bless God. Isn't it amazing? You never know what God's up to. Doesn't He spring surprises on you? You just got to be so prepared and so ready. Thank God we don't have a program. I'd be lost. I just have to walk in faith. And I find it so much easier to take God on, or take on what God's doing in and through us. Last week I started off in a message I preached called "Carry the Word, Carry the Name, and Carry the Load." And I guess that sounds a little bit heavy in a way, but it is a responsibility we have if we're going to be representatives of the King of Glory, to continue on. We are His representatives and ambassadors on this planet. And I don't mean carry the load as in it being a weight or a burden. I mean it's a responsibility. Amen? And there's an amazing reward in that responsibility that we have. And what God has done for us and in and through that name of Jesus, I absolutely love. And I used the illustration of when I was a company representative as a young man and taught in the aspects of selling and going out representing the company, knocking on doors and talking to customers. I carried a major load of that company's name, that company's reputation, and everything I said and did and followed up and promises I made had to be fulfilled, or it reflected badly, not just on me, but on many other people behind me. Right through to the GM, who was an amazing guy. He was just, I haven't told you the story, but there were 52 applicants for this job as a sales rep in a plastics company. I was the least experienced. I was the youngest. I was the most nervous, I guess. And this guy was quite daunting. He was an amazing CEO of that company that I went in for the interview. And I wrote a letter that I felt was, you know, pretty incredible. And 52 applicants, he selected 3 only from the letters that were written in the application. He didn't even consider the others because he said the way they were written, he knew he didn't want them in his company. That's the sort of guy he was. I'm thinking, wow, at 19 I managed to get this guy's attention from an application. And then when he gave me the job, he pointed out a few things and he just said, I've taken you because I believe you're moldable. You've got a future that we can work with. And it was incredible. And so much that I learned from that in being a company representative, being trained by an amazing guy. A guy whose dad was a preacher, but he himself wasn't walking with God and hadn't, I don't know if he ended up turning back later on in life. I lost touch with him years later, but I just thank God that I was taken into that position and met that guy. His incredible tenacity was rubbed off a little bit on me. Not as much as I would have liked, but it did rub off. And you know something? I'm going to carry on from where I was a couple of weeks ago. So if you don't have that message to fall back on and you haven't heard it, it's going to be uploaded today. We couldn't do it last week, but we've now got our internet fully connected, so we'll podcast that up along with today's message, so you'll be able to follow through with both of them. But carrying the name of Jesus is pretty incredible, carrying the reputation. And Jesus talked to people in his day, and he went back to a prophecy given by Isaiah, and he said, you're hypocrites. You honor me with your lips and your heart is far from me, and in vain you worship me and you teach doctrines as the commandments of men, and you leave the commandment of God and hold fast to the traditions of men. And he said, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. They overrode God's word, rather having their traditions and their own rituals and values upheld higher than the word of God. Not much different today if you look around a lot of places. Oh boy. God's word is second to so many other aspects of people's lives, and especially in Christendom, which is quite sad. There are churches that don't even hold the word of God up in its authenticity and its position of authority that it should have in their lives. It's secondary to their other manuals and books and writings. And oh yeah, we use the Bible occasionally. I'll tell you what, I use the Bible number one. And the word of God must be paramount. It must be upheld as the paramount and final authority. Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father and mother must die. That was the commandments Moses gave. But you say, oh, if a man tells his father and mother, whatever you would have gained from me is korban, that is given to God, that gave him an excuse to get out of things, and then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father and mother, and you dishonor your parents in that. And God said you've got to honor your mother and father. And they used things that were just absolutely religiously twisted around in order to give people an excuse not to do what God said. That's pretty well what it was. And are we using things and twisting things around to be able to get out of what God says so that we can do what we want, then we're in the same boat as these guys. And Jesus wasn't happy with them. I don't want that on my neck. I want Jesus to be happy with me. But this is the bit that really gets me. Thus, making the word of God of no effect by your tradition that you have handed down and many other such things that you do. I'm telling you, we cannot afford to make the word of God of no effect. Especially in our personal lives. It has to be paramount. It has to be there. We need to go on with the word of God. The Bible tells us this. And back in the Old Testament, God said to Joshua, this book, and even though it was a legalistic law to him back then, of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Man, if that could be a promise from God to a people under an old covenant, who didn't have the shed blood of the Lord Jesus and the life of the Spirit poured out, how much more important is it for us to meditate in that word? So much more important. We need that word paramount and upheld. You know, the name of Jesus was the name I was saying that we need to uphold. Back in those days, they didn't even mention or say the name of God. It was too holy, too reverent. And when Moses went to God and said, if you're going to send me to the Egyptians, who will I say sent me? He said, just tell them I am. I am that I am. And they really, I mean, that's a funny way to say things. He didn't say, well, I am Jehovah God or I'm this or that. He just said, I am. And that is an all-encompassing, all-powerful, all-embracing, all-existent, total meaning to them that this God was not going to take any prisoners or hold it back on his punches. He was, I am, and look out. So don't, if you don't let my people go, the I am will be the I am that you really don't want to have in your life. But if you do let him go, he'll be a different I am. And we need to understand that God is there for us. The I am of God has not changed. He is still the God who is eternal. He says, I'm the Lord God, I change not. The Lord Jesus is quoted as, it's quoted as saying, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is, I am. And in the scriptures, when he used the terminology, I am, there was power released. The soldiers tried to get him, and he said, who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am. And they fell back on the ground under the name and the shock of the power of God that came out of his mouth. He was who he was. There was no disputing that he was the I am forever. That he was the God that was sent to them. And so we need to understand that this Jesus we are serving doesn't change. He's the Lord God who is, I am, and eternal. And so I find today there's a bit of a travesty going on where people are altering the commandments of God into the traditions of men and making Jesus out to be something that he's not, as if what he said years ago has no relevance today. Oh, the Bible is out of date. This is the 21st century. Come on. The God's not with it anymore. No, he's the I Am. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if we're going to turn around and absorb the world's standards over and above God's standards, we are in trouble. We are in big trouble. And that's happening left, right, and center, right in front of our face, right at this very minute. It's been going on for a long time, but it's intensifying. It's intensifying. And the world is trying to wash out the standards of Christianity and the standards of God's phenomenal power and authority and take it away from what we know and understand. It's just not good. In Psalm 138, verse 2, God gave us, or this instruction was given, or this quote was given by David, I should say, that he talked about God and his name being a great reputation, but his word was also exalted. And it says this, I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and for your truth. For you have magnified what? Your word above all your name. That's an amazing statement, that. I mean, you would think that the guy's name and reputation would be paramount. But he said, my word is magnified above my name. Or David quoted, you have magnified your word above your name. And I tell you what, that was never more real than in the early days of Australia, where trading and everything was done on a handshake. And if a person did not honor his word, his name was turned to mud very, very quickly. Now, we didn't have an internet, and we didn't have Facebook, and we didn't have Twitter, and we didn't have everything else, and we didn't have telephones even. But I tell you what, there was a thing called a bush telegraph. And if I violated someone's trust in me, it got out round that country real quick, and this whole country knew, don't trust that fella. Don't deal with him. He says he's got pristine goods and he sells you junk. Or his animals are diseased and he's telling you that they're not. There was a bush telegraph news that got around so quickly, and the community around the farming area knew who to deal with and who not to deal with, simply based on a handshake deal that went wrong. He magnifies his word above his name. So God said, I will hasten my word to perform it. In other words, my word will be carried out in every sense of and every facet of its detail because my name is carried on that. Wow. I'm telling you, God doesn't muck around. He's serious about this. And so we've got to do that. We've got to follow God's word. And you know something? If we're going to carry his name, we have to ensure that we have the right equipment to do that in this sense. If we have wrong teaching, or if we get into religious traditions, if we have wrong concepts of God or of his word, if we align our thinking with the world's thinking, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. If the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father's not. Pretty blunt, isn't it? I will accept the world's standards. I think it's fine that they do this and do that. God's out of date. The Bible's not relevant anymore. Take it as you will. But I tell you what, you'll render the name of Jesus helpless in your life. You will render the power of God of no effect. It will totally be washed out and be made completely useless and ineffective in your life. And we don't want that if we're going to be people of God carrying his name. If we're carrying his name, we've got to carry his name the way he says to and honor his word the way we should do and uphold it completely. It's pretty interesting that I mentioned last week how there was a situation where people tried to copy Paul and said, I'm going to commanding you by Jesus that Paul's preaching about. And they tried to set someone free. And that situation turned on them and gave him a hiding and a beating. And you know, we can't afford to get ourselves out of sorts with God. If we're going to function out of God's chain of authority or out of God's life in us, and we're going to follow the world standards or try and build up our own name and reputation ahead of his name and reputation, it's going to cost us. It really will. We cannot afford to get away from what God says and how God says to do things. And so, if we're going to take on what God wants, we have to learn what God wants for us. He calls us into a life of separation from the world. He says, you're in the world, but you're not of the world, the same as he was. And so we're living in this place. We are actually here, but our whole spiritual makeup has to be based on everything God says. And we can't be in the world and mixing our thoughts and our feelings and our emotions and compromising our standards with the world's standards. You know, back in the children of Israel's days, when they were released out of Egypt, the Bible says there were a mixed multitude left Egypt with them. I think there were people back there that said, hang on a minute, this looks like a good thing, and we're not sure Egypt's got a future now. We'll carry on. We'll go out with the Israelites. And they were called rabble, if you look at it in the real translation. Other people came in, and that rabble or that mixed company weren't necessarily conducive to what Israel were doing. They weren't Israelites by blood or by nature or by family or by birth, but they got involved thinking, hey, this is a good thing, I'll go along for the ride. And you know, they actually corrupted and polluted the thinking of the Israelites along the way. There were people that get in there. And if we do that and allow compromise and other people to change our standards away from God's standards, we're in trouble. God hates mixture. Did you hear what I said? God hates mixture. And he's a jealous God. He said, I, the Lord your God, I am a jealous God. And if he wants us pure and upright and holy before his sight, and we decide we're going to diverse and move and copy this standard and copy that standard, just look out. We are compromising God's word in our life. We are compromising the reputation of his name. And it's not worth it. It is not worth it. We cannot do that. We cannot love the world. God calls us into a life of separation in the realm of his life and his word. When he took the disciples out on a journey, back a little bit, I think, Matt, we're probably ahead of myself there a bit. Back. Here we are. Yeah, I don't know where I've gone. I haven't been following notes 100%. I've just been doing what I feel was right. But when the disciples were with Jesus, they actually were going through an apprenticeship, if you want to put it in modern terminology. A disciple is not necessarily anyone. People could have disciples in those days for all sorts of things. But the word disciple connotates the terms disciplined learner. An apprentice is a disciplined learner. You get an apprenticeship in carpentry, you discipline your working life to learn carpentry. And so you become a disciple of carpentry. Now, a lot of people learn things. All men are learners in a way, but not all people are disciples. They don't have the discipline training. And so a disciple is a disciplined learner to a particular study, all right? So the disciples of Jesus were there being trained by him in an apprenticeship of the things he wanted to teach them about his kingdom. They were kingdom disciples. They were kingdom apprentices, if you want to put it in the best terminology. And so they were being trained by Jesus in so many things. We have four little gospel books here giving us a picture of 3.5 years of Jesus' life with these guys that really doesn't cover the whole base. I'd love to have been there when he took them aside and taught them things separately, when he was speaking to them one-on-one, when he was sharing his life with them. We've got a lot of the public display and the public event that went on, but there must have been so much more. But from that we can see so much of what Jesus did in their lives. And he took them through an apprenticeship and taught them to do things in his name even. And he taught them to go out and learn what it was to function in his name. But the amazing thing that he did teach them was so much about receiving a child in his name. He said, if you receive a child in my name, you receive me. He picked up a little kid. And he was teaching them that it wasn't just all about the guts and the glory side of it. There was a humility side to it. There was a gentle side to it. There was a humble side to it. There was a side to it that wasn't just being forceful and getting out there and punching the air or doing whatever. He said, if you receive this child in my name, you receive me. You give away a cup of water in my name, you receive me, or your reward's great in heaven. There was so much more to it than just being a go out there when he sent them out two by two and they come back. Oh, demons are subject to us in your name. He says, not important. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what important. What's important? Not the demonstration of the power and all that sort of thing. Serving coffee in my name is not in the Bible, but I reckon that's a pretty good addition when you're talking about our cafe here on a Sunday. If you serve coffee in my name. And we need to remember we are doing that representing our King. We're doing that as a part of his call on our lives to serve people who need him. And doesn't matter whether we get to talk to them on great theological depths and levels and whether we understand it all or not, as Rake said, I love that. We don't have to have this great theological expose that we can rattle off. All we need to know is we love Jesus. And he died for us. And that he loves people. And the only way people can receive that is if we show that same grace and love to them. And so the humility of it was what they were trained in. Their apprenticeship took them from every facet and aspect of it. And they learned to trust. They learned to serve. They learned to honor God. They learned to depend on God. They learned that their whole scenario in life was not because of their tenacity or ability, but it was because of their dependence on the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit in them. We need to understand that as well. And their authority later on, their power and the things that happened in the book of Acts was only as a result of a natural progression in growing in faith and growing in grace and growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. It was an ongoing journey. And we're still on an ongoing journey. Any of us made it yet? Man, the more I get to know of God, the more I see in his word, the more he opens up to me, the greater I see things, the more I realize there is to learn. Yeah, I really do. There is no, I've made it now. I've got it all together. I'm there. It's incredible. But Jesus took them on a little bit further and he talked us about the name and he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creatures, and he who has believed and baptized shall be saved. He who disbelieves shall be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name, they'll cast out demons, they'll speak with new tongues, they'll pick up serpents. If they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick, the sick will recover. There was this tenacity side as well that he spoke to them of going out in the authority of his name. And so he's saying to them, hey, there's a humble side. There's a serving side. There's a passive side. There's a side that shows love and grace. There's a side that is humble. There's a side of carrying my name and my reputation that I need you to know is so important. But there's also another side that says, get out there in my name. And don't let anything that is against my kingdom have authority. Take authority over that. Whoa. And so it's why we've got to be tenacious and stand firm and stand in God's word and stand for his principles wherever they're being challenged and violated is when we stand up in boldness. Totally. Totally. I get cranky when people talk about God in a negative sense. Sometimes I want to get the old man out of the coffin and say, get him, boy. Yeah. Oh, just it riles me. It does. It really riles me when people talk about God in a way that is so derogatory of my God. And I'll turn around straight away. You just don't know who you're talking about there. You just got no idea. And you cannot talk about God like that in my presence. He's my Father. I love Him. I respect Him. I honor Him. I serve Him. I think I've told you the story about Pat Mesiti, little Italian preacher guy from up north at 3C Church. Pat's about this big. Little Italian guy. And God's used him in a mighty ways, and he's been through hell and back, but he's tenacious for God. And he was on an aeroplane one day with a group of footballers. And as he was sitting there and trying to talk to have a conversation with the footballers in this next thing is, oh, Christ, oh, Jesus, oh, da-da-da-da-da-da, using Jesus' name in such derogatory terms. And he gets up and he says, hey, you fellas, my Bible tells me whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I'm a preacher and I want to tell you about my Lord. Oh, we're sorry, Reverend. He says, you're using his name wrong. And he says, I want to tell you this. If my Bible says if you're calling on the name of the Lord will be saved, you all need to get saved because you've been calling on his name ever since you got on this airplane. And so he said, if you want to use it right, I'll lead you to the kingdom of glory and you can learn about salvation. Oh, sorry, Reverend. And they're all just humbled back. He says, the hostess is all rent for covered and ducked into the galleys and got out of sight. But he got up there and he challenged them. And he every now and again they would let the name slip again. Oh, sorry, Reverend, sorry, Reverend. But he let them know where he stood. Now, I guess really it takes a bit of guts to do something like that. And I'm not saying get out there and make an idiot of yourself or get your lights punched out because someone gets up against you. But we need to understand that there's a time we need to stand up for God. There are times we need to take that name. And Jesus said, don't get caught up through philosophy and vain deceit and the traditions of men and the things of this world and not after Christ. Don't try and argue things out on an intellectual level. We need to understand that we're representing our God. That's probably a little too far ahead. But their apprenticeship as disciples was so that they could understand the power in the name of Jesus, that they could call in that name Jesus. They could ask the Father in his name. And in John 16, he said, you've asked nothing so far in my name. You really haven't taken it to its nth degree. You haven't actually called on the resources of heaven the way you are enabled to, that you can, that you've been given access to. Ask that you might receive and that your joy might be full, that you will have what God has for you. Do that. Move on in trust and dependence and serve in humility and in honor. And you know, they went through that apprenticeship and they learned so much of the Lord Jesus, but they still ran away from him when the crunch came at the cross, didn't they? He tried to prepare them for it. And I don't think anything prepared them for that. And sometimes we don't get prepared for what's ahead of us. I went through Bible college in 1974. And I came out of that college, man, I was 10 foot tall. I knew that much of the Bible, but I thought I knew it all. And I was going to get out there and show this world what it was to be a real firebrand for God. And after I finished the college, Bible college, I went to Knox College. But not the Knox College you're thinking of. I got knocks from here, and I got knocks from there, and I got knocks from my friends, and I got knocks from the church, and I got knocks from people that didn't like me. I got knocks from people that opposed, and the knocks were pretty tenacious. I was not prepared for the knocks. I really wasn't. I came out of that place 10 foot tall, and I shrunk to about 2 inches tall in no time because I suddenly realized there's a real world out there. There's actually a lot of opposition out there. There's a whole lot that you have to learn and walk with God in to go places in him and grow in him. And I'm telling you, that time from till now, I have grown and grown and grown in God little by little, bit by bit, word by word, understanding God. And I tell you what, now I still don't reckon I'm much more than 3 inches tall because it took me a lot The 10-foot-tall scenario was all up here. It was all in the head. It was all pride. It was all me. It was all my capacities, my talents, my abilities. And I knew it all. Then I got to learn what Rake said this morning. I don't understand nothing. I just got faith in God. I just know it's God. I just know what He's doing. I know He's opened His word to me, and I know He's opened up so much of His life. And it's been an amazing journey, and I'm learning and learning and learning, and I'm relearning. And you know something? The things that I relearn are more dynamic than the things I learn. And it can be the same passage of Scripture that the Lord God, all of a sudden I'm reading it, and I think, yeah, this is this and this, and God's gone, boom, and puts a whole new light on it. And I'm, where'd that come from? I've read this 100 times and never saw that. And God can use things to teach you and train you and retrain you. And the openness of our hearts and lives are important. And we can't get caught up like He talked about to the people back then, where they were caught up in traditions and so forth. And regardless of how much we think we know on a subject, keep an open heart. Keep an open life and an open facet of our lives towards heaven, so God can use us. That God can take us on. There's a progress in our faith that has to go on. And we can't just sit back and say, well, this is it and this is all it was. We're representing the King of Glory. And Colossians 2 says, in Him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He represented all that God was and had for this planet. He came as a full. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, if you've seen me, have you seen Jesus? Isn't that incredible? And when He sent them out, He said, go in my name. Go out and do things. Go and be everything I want you to be. He came and spoke to them. He says, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth, so you can go now. You're free to go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all I've commanded you. I'm with you always. Why did He say baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Because we're not just representing Jesus. We're representing the entire kingdom of heaven. We're representing all of God, all that God has for this planet. And He's saying it's not a formula for baptizing, you know, you can only do it this way, that way, the other way. It was purely an act of faith saying we are representative. We're representing the King of Glory and the entire host of heaven, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If in Him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily, in us is the ambassadorship and the representation of all that God has for this planet. And I really feel that we need to take hold of that and grasp hold of that and take God on in a whole new understanding and have a preparedness in our heart and our life to carry His name and representation in its absolute fullness. And just as I was a company representative and I was trained to represent the company, I had to consider what I was representing in the product scenario. And then I also had to consider the customer. And I had to go back to the company as a rep for the customer and present their needs back to the company. And so this is why God made us to be kings and priests unto Him. And we are actually called not just to represent Him and Bible bash the world with His message, but we are priests on the behalf of people that we come to meet. We can intercede for people. We can pray for people. We can take their needs before the throne of grace. We can say, God, I don't have an answer for this person. Lord God, you teach me, you train me, you help me. And we can realize that the product we're bringing is God's healing, God's wholeness, God's salvation, God's provision into the hearts and lives of men and women that they know nothing about and are desperate for, but yet they don't know it. And so we're representing our Father. We're bringing God's provision to this planet, and yet we take the people back and present them before God as well. It's a real ambassadorship. But it's a heart commitment. That's all I can say. To be ambassadors and carry that name to its full, in its fullness and to its full effect. I don't know, there's something in there that's stirring up within me. I can't verbalize it. I can't articulate it. I'm just struggling to get the importance of that out. But it really is churning up within me that God is aching in heart for his church to be the church. He's purposed it to be. That's the only way I can put it. He is crying out over this planet. People are perishing. And he's given a church a mandate. And I think his heart's aching for the fact that it's not where it needs to be. That's all I can put it down to. That's what's stirring me. And I've really had a heart to see God's life poured out and God's spirit and God's power and people getting saved. And I'm like, God, what is it that you want us to do and be and to be effective for your kingdom? What is it, Lord, that I need to do? What is it you want of me? What is it, Lord, that you want to change in me that's going to be more effective for what you're calling me to do and be for you? And I'm really, really, really aching in prayer for that. That's all I can say. It's something that when I started praying a little while ago, God, you know, thank you for your direction and your protection and your correction and Lord, change my life. I'm telling you what, it's been an amazing journey, but now I see the effect of it is to bring his church, me and people into a workable, functional, effective capacity to change this planet for his glory. And I don't want to break his heart. I don't want to see him crying over a church that's ineffective. I want to see a church grow that's effective for his kingdom. I know if your heart and my heart are on the same page here, but we all have had our failures. We've all had our shortcomings. We've all had our wishes and wants. And oh, funny, I'd spoken to that guy many times. God prompted me to talk to people and I've never ever seen him again. And some have found just died, passed away. And I'm thinking, Lord, did you prompt me to talk to them because you knew they were going to die soon? I carried that guilt for a while. I carried the remorse over that. I carried this feeling of, oh God, I failed you. But then as it come out this morning, your sins are forgiven you. Rise, take up your bed and walk. And I could have stayed on that bed of self-pity. I could have stayed on that bed of condemnation. I could have stayed on that bed of feeling I'd failed God. But he's woken me up. Regardless of that, you've still got a job to do. Get up, take up your bed, pull yourself together and do what God wants you to do. And I think that's a shake up and a wake up call for all of us, that God wants us to move on regardless. Amen? Father, I pray today that we as your church will seriously take what you've called us to be, carriers and representatives of the King of Glory. Carriers of your name. Carriers of your reputation. But Father God, I pray for every person here that's heard this message. And I pray, Lord God, that your heart has come through in this. That, Lord, you want us to be the church that you want us to be. That you've called us to be. That you've died for. That you prepared a life for. And that you gave a commission to. And I pray, Lord God, that as we walk on with you, as we grow in your knowledge and in your grace, that you'll teach us, you'll direct us, you'll correct us, you'll bring us to that position of effectiveness for you, Lord God, wherever we are and whatever we do, in our mind and in the foremost part of our thinking, we are here as ambassadors for the King. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name.